Thank you, Angela. Is this thing turned on? Okay. Well, I'm so glad that I get to come after Mats, because he spoke about the global perspective and stole my thunder and already given a very good overview, which I think it's much better that Mats does that, because I really look up to him. He's really the BAM spokesperson that's been inspirational to many people. And I would have almost called him a hero, except that yesterday Mike Bayer messed that up for me, because he said heroes are overrated. And then on top of that, David comes up and he says, you know what, Mats is not a very big deal in one sense, because he basically lives in seat 4D. And I thought, seat 4D, not a big deal. Mats is not as big as I thought. And then I kept thinking about it, and then I go, wait a minute, but 4D in most planes I've been in is a first class seat. So he's probably a pretty big deal, actually. But in either event, so what I'm going to do is slightly different. I'm going to focus on how one company does BAM globally, rather than the bigger perspective of the global perspective on BAM. I'm also glad I'm coming after Dwight Nordstrom, because I'm going to give a perspective that's quite the opposite, how a small business, such as mine, can still have pretty significant impact, depending on who you interact with. And the other thing that's slightly different is I'll also differ a little bit with Dwight, with all due respect. Dwight is another hero. I read his book about him when I was starting my business. But I'm going to talk about how an IT business can still have an impact. That's what I run, an IT business. It's called Olive Technology. I've been doing that for the last 22 years. I'm going to use the framework of the quadruple bottom line for BAM, which, as some of you know, it's either referred to as the four C's. That's S-E-E-S, social, environmental, economic, and spiritual impact. Or if you are a member of the BAM Global website, you know it as the four P's, which is people, planet, profit, and purpose, eternal purpose. So let's start with the social or the people side of things. You know, when anthropologists talk about how people identify themselves, or what's a people group, the question is, what's a people group? Then the answer is, a people group is defined as what people identify themselves as. So it's the identity that defines them, and they have to themselves say, this is my identity, and if that is unique enough from another group, then that's a distinct people group, is what they say. Well, and they also talk about the different ways in which people identify themselves. There is the aspect of culture, our customs, our practices. That's one way of defining who the people are. Language, how they communicate, ethnicity, religion, what are their worldviews, what are their values, their beliefs. Sometimes people identify themselves as a nationality. Or, and here's the one that really hits home for us who are talking about BAM, it's also defined as what you do for a living, the profession that you're in. Someone might say, when you say, who are you? They may say, I'm a teacher. And so the context actually defines identity. And so within that, I want to talk about how BAM can have a significant impact when you do it in a global context. First of all, in the context of culture. As a small BAM company in India, one of the things that I've done in order to kind of be in alignment with the culture of the place is, when you walk into the reception area of my office in India, you find a little portrait of Jesus, which, as many of us would say, that's just an artist's impression. Sure enough. But I would never put that picture in my office in the US, but I do so in India. And the reason is because when people walk in most establishments in India, there is usually a picture of a Hindu god which says, this is the god I worship. And so we did that in our front office. And one day I had a supplier walk into my office stood in front of me and has started the conversation, and from his name I could tell he's a Hindu, most likely. And he started the conversation by saying, "By any chance, sir, are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You know, I've been watching this CBN television network, and I have some questions for you about your faith." I said, "Fantastic." So you see, a small way in which we can actually introduce ourselves as to who we are, given the context in that particular culture. Language, how we use words, is so important. The fact is that even when we say bless you, what does that mean? How does language impact the way people perceive us in that context? Ethnicity. One of the beauties of doing BAM globally is that you start seeing how people from different cultures. I have staff who are US-based, and I have staff who are India-based. And when they interact with each other, how they're able to share each other's values, and how it breaks down racism. It breaks down this feeling that my race is better than your race. And recently I was reading an article, actually, I think it was on the BBC app. It talked, and some of you may have seen this, it talked about how in one small town in China, which about 15 years ago, if you talked about anybody from Africa, they would have no context for it. And today there are 12 couples in this town who are interracial, and the man is usually from China, he's gone to work there in some part of Africa, and the wife is from a country there. And all of a sudden, that has really broken down barriers in this town. They love everything that's about Africa, the culture, the everything, the music and so forth. So much so that the number one person on social media from that town who has over 100,000 followers is from an interracial couple. And everybody wants to know about their lives. They're suddenly superstars. So it's all about that interaction, right? It's about getting to know and being with people of another culture that breaks down barriers. And through BAM globally, we have the opportunity to do that. Sometimes it's the religion, values, and you know, that we don't need to go into details on that. Nationality, the idea of being a global citizen, of being able to see beyond borders, and the beauty of doing that is something that is so unique, and I enjoy that, quite frankly, being a BAMer that's doing it in a global context. And we always change that context. I mean, and then it comes to profession and what do we do for a living. And that is where working in the same company creates such a strong bond. So I've seen people in my company that will talk to their colleagues who are in the U.S. and just suddenly there's this strong bond. You feel like you're part of one family. And the exchange of thoughts and ideas and the rub that happens between each other, how you're sharing your faith, is just truly incredible. The second bottom line for BAM is the environment or the planet. One of the ways in which I've seen that happen within this BAM context that I'm in is the fact that, first of all, I've had the opportunity of doing business in 11 countries. And when you see more of God's creation, you have a new appreciation of the importance of stewarding and taking care of creation. You learn about people's attitude toward natural resources, and then as you work together in that context, you're able to freely share how we need to be stewarding those resources. Telecommuting and electronic communication. Now, that's one, again, specific to the IT industry. We're able to make a difference by telling some of our staff, even in India, look, we trust you. You can take the laptop home, and you can work from home. As much as you can, please do that. That's good for the environment. But on the other hand, the flip side to doing BAM globally is the fear of the increased carbon footprint. And who can deny that? And of course, that's a challenge that we have to think about. In fact, every year this time in September, on my annual calendar, I'm usually in India. So I have a... If you come to my session this afternoon, and I hope you do, I'm going to be as shameless as the other speakers and ask you to come to my session. I'm going to dig deeper into some of the challenges of running a BAM company globally, a multi-location office. But one of the challenges of a multi-location office is that carbon footprint. And like I said, I have a regular rhythm of how many times I'm going to be there in the office. That's one of the ways in which you create FaceTime. You break down any feeling of isolation between teams that are working in different offices. But that's one reason why I was never able to come to this BAM conference before. And I'm so encouraged by this event, by the way, I should say that, because I feel like I'm in an arena with everybody who's a cheerleader around me, saying, you know, go, man, that's good. This BAM is excellent. And yesterday I was talking to a friend who runs a fairly large ministry, and he's been to many missions conferences. One of the things he told me last night was, he said, you know what, Joseph, this conference is unlike any other I've been to. And I said, why? And he said, it is interesting when it's time for networking, everybody is wanting to network with each other and get to know each other's ideas. And he says, most of the other missions conferences I go to, people are looking into their cell phones. They're off doing their own thing. It doesn't seem like much networking happens. So that's really incredible that we're kind of together in this and we want to cheer each other on. But economic or profit, that's the third quadruple bottom line of BAM. One of the things about profit and about doing business globally anytime is this idea that comes into some people's minds. They think of, well, maybe you're running a sweatshop if you're having cheap labor in another country, right? And in the case of service industry, sometimes people think maybe, you know, you're causing brain drain. You're taking all the brain power of a certain culture and you're using it to serve clients in a different culture. Sure, that may be true in some cases, but as a BAM company, that doesn't certainly have to be the way it is done. We go the extra mile, and I know many of you in this room who run BAM companies do go the extra mile and try to create environments that are better than what you could expect in any normal business or an average business. We certainly try to do the same thing. The movement of wealth from one society to another happens in a BAM operation, just as it does in any global business, usually in the direction of where the scarcity is. Because you're doing business, you're employing people in a country with lower wages, and then all of a sudden you're bringing significant amounts of wealth into that direction, in that direction. And that's one of the advantages of running a BAM company. But on the other hand, there is a flip side to it, sometimes when we think of BAM particularly. The ownership of the business usually is in the opposite direction. So though there is massive amount of wealth going into the direction where there is more scarcity, sometimes the ownership is going in the opposite direction. And I would challenge some of you to think in terms of where you've got the ability to do so, set up ownership in the countries where you're actually setting up the BAM business, if it is possible, given the tax code between countries. We've done that in our context. And our company, though much of it, I live here and so forth, but and carry a U.S. passport. But however, we made it such that the business is owned in India so that people there, some of our key staff, can have equity within the company, stock options and things like that, so that there is ownership. There's a sense of, I am a part of this thing. This is much more than some company that just came here and set it up. So if it's possible, again, I do understand there are contexts where that doesn't work. The tax codes don't quite line up. But where it's possible, that would be a fantastic way to do it. And then there's the issue of, when it comes to profit, this third point, there's this whole issue about engaging with other nations. When you start doing business globally, my point here is, you start thinking about that country more deeply. Let me draw a parallel to, say, the way in which you might own stock in a corporation that you really don't care much about. For example, McDonald's. Most of you in this room probably don't eat there unless you're going there with your kids or your grandkids. But at the same time, the moment you pick one of their stocks, and now you're a shareholder of McDonald's, you are very interested in everything that happens at McDonald's. Their menu, how it looks, and what's the minimum wage, and so on and so forth. It's the same thing when you do business in another country. You're all of a sudden, I find myself reading about countries where I've done business, Nigeria. I'm interested in the politics there. Hong Kong, Singapore. I mean, all of these different countries where you do business, you suddenly become so involved in what's going on in those countries. So that's another advantage of doing BAM globally. It gives you more of that engagement with the world that's around us, which we as Christians are called to do anyhow. And finally, the spiritual or eternal purpose. You know, we know that there is ultimately one of the biggest bottom lines for us is what kind of an impact are we having spiritually. And in restrictive access or creative access nations, we've talked about it all through this event. BAM is really one of the best entry points. It is about being the salt and light in those contexts. I want to give you a small example of how I've seen that played out in my own context of Olive Technology. We had an accountant named Raju some 15 years ago. And Raju, he had some damage to his liver. He was not a drunkard or anything like that, but it was an infection and it caused liver cirrhosis. Young man, 25 years old, newly married, and he has this problem. Well, 3 months went by, his situation got worse and worse, came to the point where he couldn't come to the office anymore. And he asked, he actually walked up to me one day and he said, you know what, I know I can't do this job anymore and the tax season is coming up. So he said, it'd be okay if you want to let me go. And I'll just stay at home and go through the treatment. The sad thing was we all knew this was terminal, most likely. So there was no real reason to think, well, he's going to come back and work one day. But I knew how much this meant to him, that he was a part of the company and it was being productive, and how much it would mean to his wife and her family. You know, the Indian system of arranged marriage where the families get engaged, involved with each other. And it meant a lot when I went to his wedding, when they talked about the fact that he has this wonderful job as an accountant in this company. And so we made a decision and said, no, Raju, that's fine. You'll continue to be our accountant. And as a matter of fact, we won't hire anyone. We will just bring in a consultant from our tax CPA firm who will continue to help us temporarily until you're okay and you come back. Gave him a huge sense of hope in the midst of this really bad news. Well, that went on for another, I would say, 3 or 4 months. Finally, it reached the stage where he was in the ICU and the last few days of his life. So I remember going there. This is back in 2004. My wife and I went to visit him in the ICU. He was on a ventilator. And in those last moments, he gave his life to Christ. And I think it was all because of the love that was shown to him. So praise be to God for things like that that can happen. So I really feel that doing BAM, irrespective of the type of business you might be in, sometimes being a single consultant, I've seen people have a significant impact for the kingdom. The freedoms that it gives you and the people that you can interact with can be quite significant. But I just want to end with this statement, again, made by my hero, Mats. He says, BAM as mission is a concept that can and should be applied everywhere. But the business as mission movement has a special concern for people and places where there are dire economic, social, environmental, and spiritual needs. So is BAM suitable for South Denver, where we have a baker who's living up to his values, and some of you know who I'm talking about? Yes, very much so. But is BAM also important and necessary in a global context? Yes, and perhaps by this statement that I just read to you, maybe it's even more critical that we take BAM to those places where the needs are more dire in other contexts around the world. So with that, I'm going to stop and give a few minutes for questions.
Thank you, Joseph. The story you told of your accountant was particularly moving. I was just wondering if you could give us maybe one other story or example where you found working globally in BAM has enriched your company more than perhaps it would have if you just stayed in one location or one country.
Yeah, I think the richness of it is as much to the people that we work with as it is to those that are starting the BAM company like myself. Like I said before, just the privilege of having that kind of a global engagement enriches you and always keeps in front of you the context of how God is working across all cultures and in all contexts. But for the people that are in the company itself, it's their one opportunity in most cases. The people I interact with, and those of you who have been to India and have looked at the IT industry, Most of the people that work in the IT industry in India are from the upper caste. Many of them are Brahmins. They typically will not have any engagement with Christians in any other context that they live and work in. So IT is one of those industries where such elite of the country will come and interact with us. And through that process, that's their only opportunity of actually hearing the gospel. So it is very unique in that.
Thank you. There's one more question, which was around the issue of values. So when you go into a country that systemically the values may be, for example, bribery is the norm, how do you navigate that if you know your own values are going to conflict with them?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think that ultimately every nation wants to aspire towards the highest values in society. And oftentimes, the Judeo-Christian standard is held quite high, even though those countries may not openly acknowledge that. So I think in many ways, there is an appreciation for what we bring. And I'll give you one example of that value. It's this idea, especially in the context of India, and might apply to some other cultures as well, the concept that all people are created equal in God's sight is a very, very significant, and you'll be shocked if you haven't traveled overseas, is not a common value at all. Hinduism specifically says people are created unequal. There are the upper caste and the lower caste, and how can you even say that everybody is the same thing? And when we bring that value, and we say, no, you're just as equal to me as anybody else, whether you're a driver, peon, whether you're a programmer or a manager, completely breaks down their worldview and their thinking, and now they're suddenly open to this idea of, wow, I like the beauty behind that. Tell me more, is what usually happens.
Thank you. We're so glad you could join us this year. Thank you for coming. And remember, Joseph will be taking one of the breakout sessions afterwards if you want to ask more questions or just hear a bit more depth of how you engage practically globally. So thank you so much, Joseph. You.